Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, surviving a brain tumor to run marathons on all seven continents.
This can happen, as you know, to anyone. I mean, an injury, some adverse life event can derail your goals. And so just, you know, part of it is dedication and diligence, and another is absolute luck. I happen to have all those.
Running with and against your husband.
The first runs were definitely not as competitive between us, I guess. We would go out and just, you know, explore trails and explore the city and enjoy the time together. So very much kind of date focused. And then we started to get a little bit more serious about our running and our racing. We actually were able to use each other as a push to try to beat one another and have that competitive edge between us, which is always interesting as a couple.
And how a tough marathon led to a permanent friendship.
Just beyond 15K, I was walking, enjoying it. It was a beautiful day. I remember walking in the sunshine and runners were passing me, and I was like, you know, it's too bad. I'm disappointed, but, you know, I was really enjoying just the sunshine and watching the people run by. And as I was walking up to, not sure how much further. It was a good 10 minutes of walking while I was contemplating whether I should catch a bus or not and get back to the start. I stumbled upon this gentleman who said, "Come on, Canada, let's go, get running."
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
So are you a New Year's resolution kind of guy? Have you started planning what you want for 2018 yet?
Well, they say if you say your resolutions out loud, you're more likely to see them come through than if you don't.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
If you verbalize it. So yeah, I am a New Year's resolution guy. I've made a New Year's resolution. I will announce it now to our friends and colleagues that we would like to see me finish a marathon in 2:58. And ideally,
wow.
I think maybe I can do that in April in Waterloo, inaugural Ed Whitlock Half Marathon. So I've
right.
been invited to come up there as a speaker. And 2018, let's do this.
This is all very specific, which is what it's supposed to be, of course. You know, I remember the first time I ran a marathon back in 2004, and a big step in the process for me was actually telling other people that I was going to run a marathon. That's what made me stick to it, as opposed to saying halfway along the training plan, I'm just going to do the half marathon. Because I told people I was doing the marathon, I did the marathon.
Is it bad radio if we allow for 1 second of silence just so the listeners at home could announce to the room or wherever they find themselves what
sure.
their own goals are?
Yeah, let's do it. Here you go. This is your chance. Share your goals out loud right now.
Wow.
Best of luck.
There it is. Mark, you know what the wonderful thing about this whole thing about making the goals and setting up your plans and thinking about your races and all of that? I think it puts you in a mind frame, right?
Sure.
Like, if that's the goal, like, that would mean, you know, you are healthy, your family's healthy, your job is more or less stable, that you're having enough time and space and, like, capacity to concentrate on that with the effort it requires, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very positive mental exercise.
And that's why I always say running is evidence of so many things, but when you have a society where a lot of people are running and marathons and half marathons and 10Ks are packed with people, it's obviously a good place. People have the instinct and the desire to do it, and it probably means our lives aren't tough enough day to day compared to our ancestors, compared to people in other parts of the world, that we're not so exhausted by the end of the day that we don't go out and seek some form of making ourselves more exhausted by running 10K to train for a half marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about today, because we've got a guy coming up on the show today named Brian Cornwall. Brian is a very interesting guy who has run on all seven continents. You know, he lives in California, and if it wasn't for running, we wouldn't even know each other. And he's an example for me of all the great people you meet through running. And I know you've talked so many times about Ed Whitlock. He was one of the people who said that all the time about all the great people he met through running. Because,
totally. Yeah.
All right, Ben, thank you. Good luck with your New Year's resolution. I'm going to be holding you to it. We'll be talking about it in the weeks ahead.
All right. Good luck with everybody in their goals and their happiness and health, and onward we go.
That is iRun's editor and general manager, Ben Kaplan. We have a great show coming up. Just ahead, we'll talk to a runner who survived a brain tumor and has now completed a marathon on all seven continents, including Antarctica. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Brian Cornwall is a Canadian who now lives in California. I had the pleasure of meeting Brian at one or two running events over the past few years, and he has an incredible story. Despite some health challenges, he's one of a very small number of people who has completed a marathon on every continent on Earth. Brian, thanks for being on iRun Radio.
Well, thanks very much for having me back, Mark. It's a pleasure speaking with you. I follow you. I'm a big fan. Following your podcasts and certainly all your tweets about the long road to Boston and all the great work you've done highlighting other runners in addition to your own accomplishments.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you. And listen, congratulations on completing the seventh continent. You've run marathons now on seven continents. You've done Antarctica as the final one. And how do you feel about that? You must be very proud.
I am very proud. In fact, I hung up a hanger with hanging medals, and actually the Ottawa Marathon's on there, so I think of you whenever I see the Ottawa Marathon, but I've hung a marathon from every continent on this little hanger as a visual reminder about the goal and what to do, all the work that it took to accomplish it, and the work that you still need to do after you accomplish it. And I felt great after it was done. I don't know if I had a chance to tell you. It was an onerous race, actually. It was one that I've never, in all the marathons 20-plus that I'd done leading up to Antarctica, I had never run a marathon in over 4 hours. So I'd even fractured my femur. A year and a half later, I ran a marathon in Alaska and ran that in 3 hours and 59 minutes. So Antarctica, it took a chunk out of me. That was a 5.5 hour marathon.
And obviously, that's because it's not your typical marathon. You're not running on nice dry roads through the downtown of Chicago or something like that, right?
That's right, and I have done Chicago, and it is a nice marathon. But yeah, it's on a muddy path between scientific outposts and the weather varies year to year. Sometimes it's nice. In fact, we were fortunate we had pretty nice weather in comparison to other years. It was in an in between type temperature, fantastic for Canadians. And, you know, as I used to live in Ottawa, so I should have been ready for this. But it was that type of temperature. It was below freezing, but not too cold. So if you put too many layers on, you have to take a layer off. If you take a layer off, you're going to get too cold. So that was, I think, my strategic flaw is that I didn't have optimal clothing on.
Yeah, but look, the reason you were there was to complete the marathon. Your time wasn't important, and you had ticked off a seventh continent. So tell me what sent you down this path. And I know you've described it as a long road, a long journey. What is it that made you want to run marathons on all seven continents?
That's a great question. I was reflecting back on that, and I've run Comrades, and that was a bucket list item. That for me was just an ordeal of training and pushing, and that took me a long time to train for that. And
yeah, and for those people who don't know, that's an ultra marathon in South Africa, it's an enormous race. It's amazing, actually. It's thousands of people participating, even though it's how many kilometers is it?
It's 90 kilometers.
Yeah, So that's it's an incredible event. I mean, it's a huge ultra marathon, and obviously more than two marathons in length. But and yet, there I think some years they have 15,000 or 16,000 people, right?
Yes. Yeah. The year I ran it, I believe there was maybe slightly less than 10,000 and 8,000 completed in the time limit of 12 hours.
Wow.
So it starts at 6 a.m. and they have a rooster that, that crows and they've got inspirational music. And then at 6 p.m., you know, 6:00, the race director comes out, they drag this iron gate across the finish line, and the first person that gets to the gate gets a handshake from the race director saying, you know, sorry, you didn't make it. They may get an interview or they may not, but everyone beyond that, that 12 hour and 1 second, their names don't appear on the program. So it's harsh.
Yeah.
if you want to complete that, you've got to get it done in under 12 hours.
Yeah. So you'd done that and you were looking for a new challenge at that point?
Yeah. At that point, I was fortunate to go on a conference. It was a couple of years later. I went on a conference for work in Barcelona, Spain, and I thought, you know what, Barcelona, I'd never been there before, so I started to look on the web, and for whatever reason, I just thought, I wonder if there are any marathons in Europe around that time, because I'm going to Europe anyways, and sure enough, the Barcelona Marathon was on the Sunday after this conference ended, and I thought, that's the hand of someone bigger than me pointing me in a direction.
The marathon gods.
So, yeah, the marathon gods were saying, Brian, you need to run this.
Yeah.
And it turned out one of our customers, who's a neurosurgeon in Brazil, he's a big runner as well. So we try to go out running together whenever we're at a conference. And I said to him, hey, I'm running this thing. And sure enough, he registered right away as well. So we went together and It was an amazing experience. It was another one of those. And Mark, I know you've done this a lot with your podcast, but every single marathon is a different adventure. I mean, it's an adventure in either weather. It's an adventure in terms of how prepared you are. So I was there for work. I wasn't there to run a marathon. And you know, sometimes weather's an issue. Sometimes it's not. But it's it was an amazing experience. But what that taught me was to be opportunistic in terms of whenever I traveled for work or if we went on a holiday as a family, I tried to think about how I could incorporate a race into the trip. And that has served me very well. And that ended up leading to this goal of running a marathon on every continent that I would see people and you'd chat with them and they'd say, oh yeah, this is my fourth continent. I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they said, oh, I'm going to run a marathon on every continent. I thought, wow, that's incredible. So it's from this chatting with people that you hear a goal. You think, that's an interesting goal that I would like to incorporate. And I was fortunate at the time that I was doing enough traveling that I could knock these things off.
And is there not a sort of formal recognition that goes with that? Or do they not keep track of the people who have done it?
There is a couple of different clubs, and I registered with a club called the Seven Continent Clubs, and it's organized by a group called Marathon Tours based out of Boston, and they do a lot of work with the Boston Marathon as well. They're a great organization. There were quite a few Canadians that were on the trip to Antarctica. It was quite an international feel to it. They were, spent some time with a couple from France and people from all over the U.S. and quite a few Canadians, actually. The crew that it was on a scientific vessel, they were Russian. There were a couple scientists from New Zealand giving lectures about Antarctica and the research there. The crew itself, or the tour group, was Canadian. It was called One Oceans Tour Group, and then Marathon Tours is an American group based out of Boston. So yeah, it was very multinational and very culturally rich experience.
Cool. Now, just quickly, tell me, Brian, about some of the other marathons you did on other continents. I mean, obviously, you've run a few in North America. That's usually, for those of us who live in North America, that's the easy one to tick off. But tell me about where you ran in South America, in Africa, in Asia, and in Australia.
Okay, So the marathon in Barcelona, that ended up being the third continent. That was in 2012. Then in 2013, I ran with a buddy in Rio. So that was our South America. And that occurred over the July 4th weekend in the U.S. and the July 1st weekend in Canada. And it turned out we were moving that weekend. So I was very fortunate to have an understanding wife that she ended up moving our house without me.
Wow. While you were off doing this.
Yes.
Yeah. Incredible.
That could lead to disaster for some.
Yeah.
It could have led to disaster for me. So 2013, 2014, I ran Ottawa, and then I ran Australia in the summer at Gold Coast, which was absolutely glorious race. And I took my daughter with me for that, and she wanted to run a 10K while she was there. So we ended up doing a 10K race on the Saturday, and then I ran the marathon on the Sunday. And that absolutely affected my time, but the experience was overwhelmingly positive. And it wasn't just about me. I mean, I knew as long as I could finish, I'd have a good time.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, I ran a marathon in Japan, the Kobe Marathon. So I had all six continents knocked out by 2014 and was going to try to run in either 2015 or 16, the marathon in Antarctica. And in advance of doing that, I ran a marathon in Rome in 2015, and it was one of two that I did not finish. And the marathon in Rome was another opportunistic marathon for me, Mark, in that I was traveling to Europe for a medical mission. We were going to support some surgeons in Romania and train them. We were there for a week and a half training them to do minimally invasive spine surgery. And so I looked at what are the marathons in Europe. Sure enough, there was a marathon in Rome. And the flight that I had arranged actually transferred through Rome just as a coincidence. So another hand of the big you know, marathon god pointing me in the right direction. So I ran the Rome Marathon, but I didn't finish. And I thought there were a lot of complications associated with that, with luggage. You know, everybody knows, pack your running shoes. What did I do? I packed them in my checked luggage. So my marathon shoes were packed away. I had to buy a new pair of shoes at the expo.
Okay,
that
wow.
wasn't a big deal. But and then it rained. So, like, just all sorts of things. But I can't blame it on any of that stuff. You've got to be better prepared. But what I found out 2 months after this marathon in Rome is that my health was adversely affected by a brain tumor. And this was before the news release of Gord Downie's brain tumor. You know, may he rest in peace. What an incredible man, and what he's done for the country in unifying Canada. But I was dealing with my own personal issues, as Gord Downie was more publicly going through his issues. And I was very fortunate. I had surgery and had the tissue removed, and it was not cancerous. So
wow.
I'm very blessed.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. And I knew you'd had some challenges. And so, I mean, obviously for you to come back after that, I'm sure there were moments where you thought this, I mean, obviously you're worried about more than just marathons at that point, but you probably were thinking your dream was on hold, if not on, you know, on hiatus for potentially a long time.
That's right. I mean, that's well said, Mark. I mean, you're looking at your goal, and this can happen, as you know, to anyone. I mean, an injury, some adverse life event can derail your goals. And so just, you know, part of it is dedication and diligence and foolhardiness. Another is absolute luck. And
yeah.
So I happen to have all those.
So did that make the experience of running Antarctica and completing this mission, did that make it even, you must appreciate it all the more as a result of everything you've been through?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I found myself, and I think I spoke with you about this, Mark, that I have not had a race goal since running in Antarctica in March. And for me, at first I was thinking, I was a little bit depressed about it. I was a little bit despondent that what am I going to do without this goal to chase after? And I had read about significant climbers who have done Everest, and they get this post-climb depression because they've accomplished such a significant goal. And then I found myself reflecting on how much I enjoy running, how much I love just getting out and being able to reflect with my own thoughts and the health benefits, all the things that you love about running. And it was very refreshing for me to be able to run for joy as opposed to running for a goal. And that has helped me a lot. I've got ideas on what I'm going to do next year in 2018, but I don't have them as meticulously written down and goal planned as I have in the past.
Yeah, and that's okay. You're running now for the enjoyment of it, which is great. And there'll be another time for you to have some other ambitious goal, although it'll be hard to top that one. Brian, it's really great to talk to you, and I'm glad you're doing well health-wise, because that would be an incredible scare, obviously. And congratulations again on completing this very rare achievement of running a marathon on all seven continents. And thanks for being on the show.
Well, Mark, thanks very much to you, not only for inspiring us with all your running stories, but your writing as well, and facilitating the opportunities for people to talk about running and what they love to do and how it benefits their lives in so many facets in terms of their families, their own health, their friends. It's really an incredible community that you've put together, Mark, and I congratulate you and wish you all the best, and wish all the runners out there the best. Everybody's dealing with their own challenges, and to be able to do this as a community and to be able to help each other out, I think that's a glorious thing, and I thank you for what you do.
Well, that's very nice of you, Brian. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, Mark.
That's Brian Cornwall. Coming up next, the story of two runners who ran a marathon and then got married the next day. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Catherine Ahokas and her husband run together, and they sort of compete with each other as well. And there's an interesting story about how they incorporated running into their wedding. Catherine, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you ran a marathon the day before you got married, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so yeah, walk me through your relationship with your husband and how this all got started.
So I was born in on Vancouver Island and moved out west to do some schooling, or out east, sorry, to do some schooling to Toronto. Had never been to Toronto before, and started my schooling and started running at the time, even though I didn't really like running, but it was my means of transportation when I was going to school and a way to see Toronto, because I really had no idea what Toronto was all about. And started running and then realized, hey, wait a minute, I'm not so bad at this, and maybe I'll run a marathon. So ended up training for the Ottawa Marathon, and lo and behold, qualified for Boston, but I didn't even know what Boston was at the time. And ended up needing some advice in how to fuel myself for a marathon, because Ottawa did not go all that well, and I ran into some fueling challenges. And then ended up meeting my now husband, and he was the one giving me some fueling advice on how to fuel for Boston. And from there, our relationship really revolved around running, and we spent a lot of time in our shoes training together and going to different races. And so push comes to shove, when we decided to get married, it just suited us to be actually married around a marathon.
Right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Tell me,
why not?
Yeah, why not? So tell me a little bit about those early runs, because I understand when you were first training together, it was more like a date, and then later on in your training, as you got to know each other a little better, the runs got a little more training-oriented. Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. The first runs were definitely not as competitive between us, I guess. We would go out and just, you know, explore trails and explore the city and enjoy the time together. So very much kind of date focused. And then we started to get a little bit more serious about our running and our racing. We actually were able to use each other in as a push to try to beat one another and have that competitive edge between us, which is always interesting as a couple.
So you actually do kind of compete with each other a little bit? You try to outdo each other?
Yeah, we do. We do. Probably me more so than him. I tend to be the more competitive person in the relationship, so I'm trying to stay ahead of him as much as I possibly can. Doesn't always happen, but I'd say most of the time.
And you qualified for Boston in your first marathon, and you actually just said you didn't even really know about that, which that I have to admit that kind of drives me crazy hearing you say that, because it took me so long to get in and to finally make it. But you just kind of stumbled upon Boston.
I did. It was actually a friend of mine who said, "Oh, are you going to go to Boston?" Who had also qualified, and I thought, "What's Boston?" And then she was the one that encouraged me to register, and I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. But apparently, it was a big deal, and I definitely don't take it lightly now, and I'm looking forward to racing it for the third time this year.
So you've been back already once, and you're going to do it a third time this spring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell me about some of the other marathons you've done before we get to the one that was the day before your wedding.
Yeah, so I have done New York City, which was an interesting adventure. I mean, it's a long day, definitely, you know, up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning just to get to the start line. And I was ill prepared for that marathon, so it was a challenge, definitely. And then it was just a lovely experience, though, to see New York City from that angle. It was my first time seeing New York City as the sun was coming up as we were leaving Staten Island. So it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
And then I have done the Vancouver Marathon, which is, I would consider my hometown, even though I'm not from Vancouver, but know it very well. And that was just a stunning course as well. And I had lots of friends and family alongside, which makes a marathon that much more pleasant. And then we've done a few others in and around Ontario, and we actually went over to Finland, which is was very special to me because my dad's side of the family is from Finland, and my grandfather ran with the Olympic torch in and around Helsinki. So we did that marathon, which again was a very sentimental event, even though again it wasn't my best performance, but I enjoyed every minute of that one. Just because of the ties to my family.
Very cool.
What
have your experiences in Boston been like?
The first Boston experience was a challenge in that even though I had the advice from Lowell about fueling, it did not go as planned. So I had to stop a couple times along course. I wasn't feeling all that great and stopped at the med tent and pushed through. I actually don't remember too much of that race, which is never a good sign. But the second experience at Boston, which was 2015, was amazing. We went down with a team of about 10 runners from Huntsville here, and it was probably the most memorable Boston so far. And it was nice to have that group. I realized how much comfort that provides in such a long, stressful day. And our team performed pretty well, so we were happy about that. We actually raced as a team as well. So,
oh, cool.
We had three women racing in the open women's category, and that ended up coming fifth, which was pretty awesome.
That's
up
great.
Against some big cities like Boston and New York. Yeah.
And so it was the Victoria Marathon you did the night before your wedding? The day before
Correct.
Your wedding, I should say. Yeah.
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 Yeah. The afternoon before.
Okay. So tell me about that. And what kind of shape were you in for your wedding? Were there any, there weren't any injuries or missing toenails or anything like that?
Well, going into the marathon, I had actually been dealing, and I'm still dealing with a lateral meniscus tear in my knee. So my training wasn't really on par. And to be honest, I was just hoping to be able to finish the race and still walk the next day. And surprisingly, it held out. So I was quite happy about that. And the next day I could walk. I made sure I was wearing a comfortable pair of shoes and had sandals and running shoes just in case I needed something even more comfortable to wear. Surprisingly, we both felt really good after the race, and we didn't have any muscle soreness until the following day. So the day after a marathon actually is not a bad choice to have a wedding.
Yeah, sometimes it is worse.
2 days after.
Yeah, sometimes it's worth. Sometimes it is worse a couple of days later, as opposed to the next
exactly.
day. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and was it a running themed wedding in some way, or were you wearing running shoes? Was it like that, or was it just a normal wedding that happened to be the day after a marathon?
It was a fairly normal wedding. There were a few little running themed pieces to it. You know, Lowell had some running cufflinks or running shoe cufflinks. And actually our bouquet, I made the day before the wedding using a bouquet that my brother-in-law won in the marathon.
Oh, cool.
So I had a couple of, a little running tweaks in there, but for the most part, it was a fairly just small, intimate gathering on the beach and not necessarily running related. But.
And obviously, you like the whole experience of heading to a destination race, discovering a city for the first time, maybe doing it with a group and getting that running experience in a new place.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to not only see the scenery, but also just experience the culture of a city or destination. It's to me, it's combining two things that I love, and that's seeing the world and running. So why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Well, Catherine, thanks so much for sharing your stories with us today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for hearing my story.
That's Catherine Ahokas. Coming up next, a tough marathon leads to a friendship between a runner and a spectator in Boston. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Our next guest on iRunRadio is marathoner Dave Emilio. Dave has completed the Boston Marathon many times, but it's his experience when he didn't think he was going to finish that we're going to share with you today. It led to a friendship with a very kind spectator along the course, a friendship that has continued to this day. Dave, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's go back to 2014. You were running the Boston Marathon, and you'd had this issue with your hip, and then I guess it just reached a point where you felt like you couldn't go on anymore. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I had been training pretty hard for Boston that year, aiming for a PB, and I had a really good training session. And just before Boston, a couple weeks before, I realized that I had a pain in my hip, TFL as the doctors would call it, and it just sort of flared up to a point at about 15K of Boston, where I shut down the pace that I was running, and said, okay, I'm done. I didn't think that I could even carry on at one point in time from the pain.
And so what happened when you stopped?
So yeah, just beyond 15K, I was walking, contemplating. I actually had my phone with me, and I had pulled it out and texted my wife to say I'm going to be a little bit later than I'd hoped, and I was walking along enjoying it. Was a beautiful day. I remember walking in the sunshine, and runners were passing me, and I was like, you know, it's too bad. I'm disappointed, but, you know, I was really enjoying just the sunshine and watching the people run by. And as I was walking up to, I'm not sure how much further, it was a good 10 minutes of walking while I was contemplating whether I should catch a bus or not and get back to the start, I stumbled upon this gentleman who said, "Come on, Canada, let's go, get running."
All right, and we should point out that you were wearing a particular shirt, right? That was was connected to 1972.
Yeah, I had copied the logo from the 1972 Canada hockey team, and then put Toronto Beaches Runners Club on it as well. And he saw this shirt, and so he knew I was from Canada, and that's when he said, "Come on, Canada, get going." And I said to him, "I'm not feeling so good. I think I might be shutting it down." And he said, "Oh, that's too bad. I can, you know, I got a buddy who lives across the road. If you run up there and ask him, I bet he'll drive you all the way back to Boston." And I thought that was really nice of him to suggest that. And he had a few people cheering with him and a case, a cooler full of beer. Sam Adams, actually, we remember quite well. And I said, "Is it okay if I have one of those?" And he looked at me and said, "You really, you want one?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Are we doing this?" And I said, "You bet." And I sat and drank the beer with him and we chatted for a bit. And I said, "Okay, I guess I better get going." And I was on my way. And I ended up walking a bit longer and decided, well, I'll see what happens when I run. And I found that if I ran a really easy pace, I could manage to get, the rest of the way. It ended up taking me about 4 hours and 45 minutes total, I think. I can't quite remember, but something like that. And I had been aiming for 305 or 310, something in that range. So I had started off nicely, but finished slowly.
And what was the experience like for you not going after a fast time? Did you have more of a chance to enjoy the crowds and enjoy the Boston experience?
Yeah, for sure. The pain was definitely masked by the fact that, it's the atmosphere of Boston, as you know, is just so electric. And I was happy that I sort of found this limpy stride that got me moving forward, steadily moving forward. And I would take some walk breaks if the pain flared up a bit. But, you know, it was just a point where I didn't care about the pain because I was just happy that I was, you know, in the race in Boston, you know, or heading to Boston. And I just kept thinking, I'm going to get that medal, you know, endure this pain and get that medal. I actually had a second beer on Commonwealth Avenue because I knew I was close. When you're on Commonwealth heading in, you're only about maybe 15 minutes away or so. And so I found another nice spectator who shared their beer with me and made it across. And you know, I seven Bostons, and I think I enjoyed that one just as much as the times I was able to hammer hard in the entire way. So
yeah. And so now that was 3 years ago. Tell me a little bit about what's happened since then. Are you do you connect with the same guy at that same point every time?
Yes. We've stayed in touch and maintained a good relationship via social media, Facebook, and how that transpired, you know, because I never got this guy's name on the day of the race. We shared a beer together, and the entire race, I kind of thought, you know, what a nice guy he was, and encouraging, and the whole community seemed well, because he was pretty sure that if I just went to visit his friend would give me a ride back. And you know, it just left such a nice feeling, and I kind of forgot about it until Boston 2015 was approaching. So about a month, maybe even less, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the race, I thought I'd really like to, you know, get in touch with this guy and thank him for how much he helped me get through that day, and how cool I thought it was that we shared that beer together. And I couldn't figure out how to do it, but I remembered, the day of the race, because I had my phone with me, when we were drinking that beer, and the first time I met him, I took a selfie of us.
Right.
So I dug up that selfie.
You had something to work with.
Yeah, I had something to work with. And I looked at the house that we were standing in front of, which was actually on the other side of the street, because we, you know, the way we were, we looked back at the the other side, and I looked at the house, and I couldn't even see the number on the house. So why I got this all detective life on it, I don't know, but I went on to Google Maps, went to, I knew I had recently crossed the 15K mat, because that's when I said, okay, that's enough. And I walked for about 10 minutes. So I just started looking on Google Maps at all the houses on that side of the street, bit by bit, until I found one that resembled the one in the selfie. And then, you know, I spun it around to look at the houses on the other side and confirmed that, yeah, that was, in fact, that does look like the lawn where I had stopped and met this guy. So his name is Danny. Danny Lang, and then he's known as, you know, a very cheerful guy, and in the community that gets together and cheers at the Boston Marathon are known as the Friends of Danny. So it turned out to be, you know, quite the interesting group that I've got in touch with. So I found the number in the house and figured out what the name of the street was, and I mailed a photo, that selfie, and a little thank you note for a great time last year, and that I'd be looking forward to running by this year. And I gave him my Facebook name and said, you know, if you get this, and this is, in fact, you, and you still live there, then get in touch with me. And sure enough, they did.
But I think this story reflects part of the Boston Marathon and what makes it special. The crowds are a big part of it, and there are people who have been out there cheering every year for decades, and families that have handed this tradition down through the years, and that the spectators who come out every single year are as much a part of this event as the runners.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's really what makes this event so special. Everybody says, you know, they run New York and Berlin and Chicago, and sure, maybe a couple of those races are bigger, and maybe some of them even have slightly more spectators lined up. But the spectators for the Boston Marathon, and as the locals call it, the marathon, whether they're runners or not, they're right into it, and they're fully supportive of the race, fully supportive of street closures. They're just all about it. I've never met someone from Boston, maybe one cab driver, but generally I've never met anybody from Boston that has anything negative to say about it. Nothing but positive. And when they cheer, man, they cheer. And they really seem to enjoy that day, and they talk about it. And another thing, as you might have noticed, all the employees of local establishments when you're there, you know, whether it's a convenience store or a bar or waitress or whatever, they're really excited to see you and really congratulatory when they see you with your medal. It's just awesome.
Well, Dave, good luck in Boston this year. I hope you get a chance to see Danny before and after the race and even during. And hope you have a great experience. Thanks for sharing this great story with us.
Well, happy to share it, and I'll keep you updated and send some updated photos.
That's Dave Emilio, and that's it for our show this week. Coming up on next week's edition of iRun Radio, we are going to talk to legendary women's running pioneer Catherine Switzer. I hope you can join us then. Have a great week.